Before I begin, I'd like to offer my obeisances to my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so mercifully accepted me as his disciple on April 16, 1974, and then also gave me second initiation on September 5, 1975, in Vrindavan, India. He gave it to me directly. Thank you very much. And this program, again, is dedicated for Varuni Devi Dasi. May Lord Nisringadev protect her and bless her so that she can pass the severe examination she is experiencing in her life. All right, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So let us begin. We are reading the chapter summaries of the seventh canto, which is entitled The Science of God. Because in the second canto, Shukadeva Goswami points out that there are 10 subject matters in Srimad Bhagavatam. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that there are 5 subject matters, but in Bhagavatam, there are 10. And one of those is called Ishakata, or the science of God. So, this first chapter of the seventh canto is entitled, The Supreme Lord is Equal to Everyone. In this chapter, in response to a question by Maharaj Parikshit, Shukadeva Goswami gives his conclusions how the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although the Supersoul friend and protector of everyone, killed the Daityas, the demons, for the sake of Indra, the King of Heaven. In his statements, he totally refutes the arguments of people in general who accuse the Supreme Lord of partiality. Now, this concept of the Supreme Lord being equal is mentioned by Krishna in the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, I am equal to everyone, I am not partial. But at the same time, Krishna points out that whoever renders service to him, he gives special attention, and that in no way is partiality. So let's continue. In his statements, he totally refutes the arguments of people in general who accuse the Supreme Lord of partiality. Shukadeva Goswami proves that because the body of the conditioned soul is infected by the 3 qualities of nature, dualities arise, such as enmity and friendship, attachment and detachment. For the Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, there are no such dualities. Even eternal time cannot control the activities of the Lord. Eternal time is created by the Lord, and it acts under His control. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, therefore, is always transcendental to the influence of the modes of nature, Maya, the Lord's external energy, which acts in creation and annihilation. Thus, all the demons killed by the Supreme Lord attain salvation immediately. The second question raised by Parikshit Maharaj concerns how Shishupal, although inimical toward Krishna from his very childhood, and always blaspheming Krishna, attained salvation in oneness when Krishna killed him. Shukadeva Goswami explains that because of their offenses at the feet of devotees, 2 attendants of the Lord in Vaikuntha, named Jai and Vijay, became Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha in Satya Yuga, Ravan and Kumbhakarna in the next yuga, Treta Yuga, and Shishupal and Dantavakra at the end of Dwarapar Yuga. Because of their fruitive acts, Jai and Vijay agreed to become the Lord's enemies, and when killed in that mentality, they attained salvation in oneness. Thus, even if one thinks of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in envy, he attains salvation. What then is to be said of devotees who are always engaged in the Lord's service with love and faith? So, at the end of this first chapter, Narada Muni, this whole seventh canto is a conversation between Narada Muni and Maharaj Yudhisthira. The scene of the seventh canto is the Rajasuya sacrifice of Yudhisthira. And at that Rajasuya sacrifice, everyone saw how Krishna used his Sudarshan Chakra to kill Shishupal. And Narada Muni was present. So when Yudhisthira saw how Shishupal had merged into the body of Krishna, Yudhisthira, who must have been sitting near Narada Muni, questioned him, "Please explain what I have just seen." So Narada Muni began to explain how Shishupal was originally Jai Vijay. And so this whole seventh canto, Narada Muni is explaining to Yudhisthira, at least in these first 10 chapters, he's going to explain to Yudhisthira the history, the first fall down appearance of Jai Vijay as Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. And thus, in this first 10 chapters, we see the elaborate description of Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad, and Lord Nrisimhadev. So now we will go to chapter 2, the summary, chapter summary of chapter 2 of this seventh canto. Chapter 2 is entitled Hiranyakashipu, King of the Demons. As described in this chapter, after the annihilation of Hiranyaksha, Hiranyaksha's sons and his brother Hiranyakashipu were very much aggrieved. Hiranyakashipu reacted very sinfully by trying to diminish the religious activities of people in general. However, he instructed his nephews about a history just to diminish their aggrievement. So, Hiranyakashipu, his brother was Hiranyaksha. Hiranyaksha was killed by Krishna's incarnation as Varahadev. And that description is given in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. We hear that narration by the mercy of Maitreya, who is instructing Vidura. So now in chapter canto 7, we get the elaborate description of Hiranyakashipu's demise. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared as the boar and killed Hiranyakashipu's brother, Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu was very much aggrieved. In anger, he accused the Supreme Personality of Godhead of being partial to his devotees and derided the Lord's appearance as Varaha to kill his brother. He began to agitate all the demons and Rakshasas and disturb the ritualistic ceremonies of the peaceful sages and other inhabitants of earth. For want of the performance of yajna, sacrifice, the demigods began wandering unseen on earth. After finishing the ritualistic funeral ceremonies of his brother, Hiranyakashipu began speaking to his nephews, quoting from the Shastras about the truth of life. So I always comment on this point, that if you read this chapter, you would want Hiranyakashipu to give your Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita class. It appears when you read this chapter and you hear how Hiranyakashipu speaks, it sounds just like a regular ISKCON Gita or Bhagavatam class. So let us continue. Quoting from the Shastras about the truth of life. To pacify them, he spoke as follows. My dear nephews, for heroes to die before the enemy is glorious. According to their different fruitive activities, living entities come together within this material world and are again separated by the laws of nature. We should always know, however, that the spirit soul, which is different from the body, is eternal, unadjustable, pure, all-pervading, and aware of everything. When bound by the material energy, the soul takes birth in higher or lower species of life, according to varying association, and in this way receives various types of bodies in which to suffer or enjoy. One's affliction by the conditions of material existence is the cause of happiness and distress. There are no other causes, and one should not be aggrieved upon seeing the superficial actions of karma. So as I just said, this sounds like any devotee giving a class in a temple on Bhagavad Gita. The difference is that Hiranyakashipu is a politician. And although he knows what to say at the time and place, by his actions, he shows that he doesn't believe or doesn't understand a thing he's saying. Yes, he can speak according to the Shastras, but more important is that one actually believes it and actually lives it. In Krishna's delineation of the 9 qualities of a Brahman, we find that in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains, Shamo Dhamo Tapakshokcham Shantir Arjavam Evacha Jnanam Vijnanam Astikyam Brahmakarma Svabhavajam. So those are the 9 qualities of a Brahman, but that last one, Astikyam, is the most important. Astikyam means that a real Brahman has firm faith in the Vedic scriptures. Not only firm faith, but actually walks the walk and talks the talk. That is the difference between a class given by Hiranyakashipu and a class given by a true devotee. Let us continue. Hiranyakashipu then related a historical incident concerning King Suyagya, who resided in the country named Ushinara. When the king was killed, his queens, overwhelmed with grief, received instructions, which Hiranyakashipu quoted to his nephews. Hiranyakashipu related an account of a Kalinga bird pierced by the arrow of a hunter while lamenting for his wife, who had also been shot by the same hunter. By narrating these stories, Hiranyakashipu pacified his nephews and other relatives and relieved them of lamentation. Thus, having been pacified, Diti and Rushabhanu, Hiranyakashipu's mother and sister-in-law, engaged their minds in spiritual understanding. Now we will go to the next chapter, chapter number 3. So please, if you're following along, we're only reading the chapter summaries. So here is 3rd chapter now, Hiranyakashipu's plan to become immortal. This chapter describes how Hiranyakashipu performed a severe type of austerity for material benefit, thus causing great distress throughout the universe. Even Lord Brahma, the chief personality within this universe, became somewhat disturbed and personally went to see why Hiranyakashipu was engaged in such a severe austerity. Hiranyakashipu wanted to become immortal. He wanted not to be conquered by anyone, not to be attacked by old age and disease, and not to be harassed by any opponent. Thus, he wanted to become the absolute ruler of the entire universe. With this desire, he entered the valley of Mandara Mountain and began practicing a severe type of austerity and meditation. Seeing Hiranyakashipu engaged in this austerity, the demigods returned to their respective homes. But while Hiranyakashipu was thus engaged, a kind of fire began blazing from his head, disturbing the entire universe and its inhabitants, including the birds, beasts, and demigods. When all the higher and lower planets became too hot to live on, the demigods, being disturbed, left their abodes in the higher planets and went to see Lord Brahma, praying to him that he can curtail this unnecessary heat. The demigods disclosed to Lord Brahma Hiranyakashipu's ambition to become immortal, overcoming his short duration of life, and to be the master of all planetary systems, even Dhruvaloka. Upon hearing the purpose of Hiranyakashipu's austere meditation, Lord Brahma, accompanied by the great sage Bhrigu and great personalities like Daksha, went to see Hiranyakashipu. He then sprinkled water from his kamandalu, a type of water pot, upon Hiranyakashipu's head. Hiranyakashipu, the king of the Daityas, bowed down before Lord Brahma, the creator of the universe, offering respectful obeisances again and again, and offering prayers. When Lord Brahma agreed to give him benedictions, he prayed not to be killed by any living entity, not to be killed in any place, covered or uncovered, not to die in the daytime or at night, not to be killed by any weapon, on land or in the air, and not to be killed by any human being, animal, demigod, or any other entity, living or non-living. He further prayed for supremacy over the entire universe and requested the 8 yogic perfections, such as Anima and Lagima. So now we will go to the next chapter, chapter number 4. So chapter number 4, Hiranyakashipu terrorizes the universe. This chapter fully describes how Hiranyakashipu obtained power from Lord Brahma and misused it by harassing all the living entities within this universe. By severe austerities, Hiranyakashipu satisfied Lord Brahma and obtained the benedictions he desired. After he received these benedictions, his body, which had been almost entirely consumed, was revived with full beauty and a luster like gold. Nonetheless, he continued to be envious of Lord Vishnu, unable to forget Lord Vishnu's having killed his brother. Hiranyakashipu conquered everyone in the 10 directions and the 3 worlds, and brought all living entities, both demigods and asuras, under his control, becoming the master of all places, including the residence of Indra, whom he had driven out. He began enjoying life in great luxury and thus became mad. All the demigods but Lord Vishnu, Lord Brahma, and Lord Shiva came under his control and began serving him. But despite all his material power, he was dissatisfied because he was always puffed up, proud of transgressing the Vedic regulations. All the Brahmins were dissatisfied with him and thus cursed him with determination. Eventually, all the living entities within the universe, represented by the demigods and sages, prayed to the Supreme Lord for relief from Hiranyakashipu's rule. Lord Vishnu informed the demigods that they and the other living entities would be saved from the fearful conditions created by Hiranyakashipu. Since Hiranyakashipu was the oppressor of all the demigods, the followers of the Vedas, the cows, the Brahmins, and the religious saintly persons, and since he was envious of the Supreme Lord, he would naturally be killed very soon. Hiranyakashipu's last exploit would be to torment his own son Prahlad, who was a Mahabhagavat, an exalted Vaishnava. Thus, his life would end. When the demigods were thus reassured by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, everyone was satisfied, knowing that the miseries inflicted upon them by Hiranyakashipu would come to an end. Finally, Narada Muni describes the characteristics of Prahlad Maharaj, the son of Hiranyakashipu, and describes how his father envied his own qualified son. In this way, the chapter ends. So now we will go to chapter 5. Now the chapter is entitled Prahlad Maharaj, the saintly son of Hiranyakashipu. Prahlad Maharaj did not carry out the orders of his teachers, for he was always engaged in worshipping Lord Vishnu. As described in this chapter, Hiranyakashipu tried to kill Prahlad Maharaj even by having a snake bite him and by putting him under the feet of elephants, yet he was unsuccessful. Hiranyakashipu's spiritual master, Shukracharya, had two sons named Shanda and Amarka, to whom Prahlad Maharaj was entrusted for education. Although the teachers tried to educate the boy Prahlad in politics, economics, and other material activities, he did not care for their instructions. Instead, he continued to be a pure devotee. Prahlad Maharaj never liked the idea of discriminating between one's friends and enemies. Because he was spiritually inclined, he was equal toward everyone. Once upon a time, Hiranyakashipu inquired from his son what the best thing was that he had learned from his teachers. Prahlad Maharaj replied that a man engrossed in the material consciousness of duality, thinking, this is mine and that belongs to my enemy, should give up his householder life and go to the forest to worship the Supreme Lord. When Hiranyakashipu heard from his son about devotional service, he decided that this small boy had been polluted by some friend in school. Thus he advised the teachers to take care of the boy so that he would not become a Krishna conscious devotee. However, when the teachers inquired from Prahlad Maharaj why he was going against their teachings, Prahlad Maharaj taught the teachers that the mentality of ownership is false and that he was therefore trying to become an unalloyed devotee of Lord Vishnu. The teachers, being very angry at his answer, chastised and threatened the boy with many fearful conditions. They taught him to the best of their ability, and then brought him before his father. Hiranyakashipu affectionately took his son Prahlad on his lap, and then inquired from him what was the best thing that he had learned from his teachers. As usual, Prahlad Maharaj began praising the 9 processes of devotional service, such as Shravanam and Kirtanam. Thus, the king of the demons, Hiranyakashipu, being extremely angry, chastised the teachers, Chanda and Amarka, for having wrongly trained Prahlad Maharaj. The so-called teachers informed the king that Prahlad Maharaj was automatically a devotee and did not listen to their instructions. When they proved themselves innocent, Hiranyakashipu inquired from Prahlad where he had learned Vishnu Bhakti. Prahlad Maharaj replied that those who are attached to family life do not develop Krishna consciousness, either personally or collectively. Instead, they suffer repeated birth and death in this material world and continue simply chewing the chewed. Prahlad explained that the duty of every man is to take shelter of a pure devotee and thus become eligible to understand Krishna consciousness. Enraged at this answer, Hiranyakashipu threw Prahlad Maharaj from his lap. Since Prahlad was so treacherous that he had become a devotee of Vishnu, who had killed his uncle Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu asked his assistants to kill him. The assistants of Hiranyakashipu struck Prahlad with sharp weapons, threw him under the feet of elephants, subjected him to hellish conditions, threw him from the peak of a mountain, and tried to kill him in thousands of other ways. But they were unsuccessful. Hiranyakashipu therefore became increasingly afraid of his son Prahlad Maharaj and arrested him. The sons of Hiranyakashipu's spiritual master, Shukracharya, began teaching Prahlad in their own way, but Prahlad Maharaj did not accept their instructions. While the teachers were absent from the classroom, Prahlad Maharaj began to preach Krishna consciousness in the school, and by his instructions, all his class friends, the sons of the demons, became devotees like him. And at this point, I'd like to share with you how the first book I read from Srila Prabhupada back in 1972 was a small pamphlet entitled Transcendental Teachings of Prahlad Maharaj. And by reading that pamphlet, I was convinced that I had found my spiritual master. And the more I read that pamphlet, the more I could understand that I had found what I was looking for all my life. And on the back of that pamphlet was a beautiful picture of Srila Prabhupada. And I became at that time convinced that I had found my spiritual master. And also, since my full-time engagement of service is preaching, I see Prahlad as one of my mentors, because here we see Prahlad at the age of 5, he is a preacher. So I very much can identify and appreciate the Leela of Prahlad. So now we go to chapter 6, entitled Prahlad Instructs His Demoniac Schoolmates. Jai Hari Bol. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Chapter 6, Summary. This chapter describes Prahlad Maharaj's instructions to his class friends. In speaking to his friends, who are all sons of demons, Prahlad Maharaj stressed that every living entity, especially in human society, must be interested in spiritual realization from the very beginning of life. When human beings are children, they should be taught that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the worshipful deity for everyone. One should not be very much interested in material enjoyment. Instead, one should be satisfied with whatever material profits are easily obtainable. And because the duration of one's life is very short, one should utilize every moment for spiritual advancement. One may wrongly think, in the beginning of our lives, let us enjoy material facilities, and in old age, we may become Krishna conscious. Such materialistic thoughts are always useless because in old age, one cannot be trained in the spiritual way of life. Therefore, from the very beginning of life, one should engage in devotional service, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishno. This is the duty of all living entities. And that verse, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishno, that is Prahlad's verse. These nine processes of devotional service that we practice, this verse comes from Prahlad Maharaj. He is one of the Mahajans. This is the duty of all living entities. Material education is infected by the three modes of nature, but spiritual education, for which there is a great need in human society, is transcendental. Prahlad Maharaj disclosed the secret of how he had received instructions from Narada Muni. By accepting the lotus feet of Prahlad Maharaj, who is in the Parampara succession, one will be able to understand the mode of spiritual life. In accepting this mode of activity, there is no need for material qualifications. And this is something that I very much like about our Krishna consciousness movement, that it has nothing to do with your material qualification or disqualification. In the material world, everything is judged by its material qualification and disqualification. But when you come to Krishna consciousness, there is no scope, no consideration of material qualification or disqualification. Krishna consciousness is the equalizer. Doesn't matter who you were or what you were or how you were. Everybody enters Krishna consciousness from the same level playing field. Everyone begins their spiritual life as a neophyte. Everyone walks into the door of Krishna consciousness as a beginner. Doesn't matter how much you think you know or what you don't know. Everything starts from point one, that we are all eternal servants of Krishna. And as Prabhupada repeatedly said and repeatedly wrote, chant 16 rounds, follow the four regulative principles, you will go back home, back to Godhead in this lifetime. So it doesn't matter who you, what you are, doesn't matter. Chant 16 rounds, follow the four regulative principles, and you will go back home in this lifetime. Srila Prabhupada ki! So now we continue with the chapter summary of chapter 6. After Prahlad Maharaj's class friends had listened to Prahlad Maharaj, they inquired how he had become so learned and advanced. In this way, the chapter ends. So now we go to chapter 7, what Prahlad learned in the womb. Thank you, Lalanesh Das, for doing this nice service. Thank you very much. In this chapter, to dissipate the doubts of his class friends, the sons of the demons, Prahlad Maharaj states how within the womb of his mother, he had heard from the mouth of Narada Muni, who had instructed him in Bhagavad Dharma. So this is interesting. It is Narada Muni who is speaking this whole katha to Yudhishthira. And now Narada Muni is going to be described in this chapter. Very, very nice. When Hiranyakashipu left his kingdom and went to the mountain known as Mandarachala to execute severe austerities, all the demons scattered. Hiranyakashipu's wife, Kayadhu, was pregnant at that time, and the demigods, mistakenly thinking that she carried another demon in her womb, arrested her. Their plan was that as soon as the child took birth, they would kill him. While they were taking Kayadhu to the heavenly planets, they met Narada Muni, who stopped them from taking her away and took her to his ashram until Hiranyakashipu's return. In Narada Muni's ashram, Kayadhu prayed for the protection of the baby in her womb. And Narada Muni reassured her and gave her instructions on spiritual knowledge. Taking advantage of those instructions, Prahlad Maharaj, although a small baby within the womb, listened very carefully. The spirit soul is always apart from the material body. There is no change in the spiritual form of the living entity. Any person above the bodily conception of life is pure and can receive transcendental knowledge. This transcendental knowledge is devotional service. And Prahlad Maharaj, while living in the womb of his mother, received instructions in devotional service from Narada Muni. Any person engaged in the service of the Lord through the instructions of a bona fide spiritual master is immediately liberated, and being freed from the clutches of Maya, he is relieved of all ignorance and material desires. The duty of everyone is to take shelter of the Supreme Lord and thus become free from all material desires. Regardless of material condition in which one is situated, one can achieve this perfection. That's exactly what I was saying before. I'll read that sentence again. Regardless of the material condition in which one is situated, one can achieve this perfection. Devotional service is not dependent on the material activities of austerities, penance, mystic yoga, or piety. Even without such assets, one can achieve devotional service through the mercy of a pure devotee. Very, very instructive. Now we go to chapter 8. Lord Nrisingadev slays the king of the demons. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you, Mahatma Devidasi and Lalanesh. We have 24 devotees online for our Nrisingha Katha. Very good. As described in this chapter, Hiranyakashipu was ready to kill his own son, Prahlad Maharaj. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared in front of the demon as Sri Nrikeshari. So here you have yet another name for Nrisingadev. Nrikeshari. Half lion and half man. And killed him. Following the instructions of Prahlad Maharaj, all the sons of the demons became attached to Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here you see how potent is Prahlad's preaching. Prabhupada used to always say, Phalena Pariyachiyate, you judge a thing by its result. So Prahlad's preaching is so potent, all the sons of the demons became devotees. We're in chapter number 8. When this attachment became pronounced, their teachers, Shanda and Namarka, were very much afraid that the boys would become more and more devoted to the Lord. In a helpless condition, they approached Hiranyakashipu and described in detail the effect of Prahlad's preaching. After hearing of this, Hiranyakashipu decided to kill his son, Prahlad. Hiranyakashipu was so angry that Prahlad Maharaj fell down at his feet and said many things just to pacify him. But he was unsuccessful in satisfying his demoniac father. Hiranyakashipu, as a typical demon, began to advertise himself as being greater than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Prahlad Maharaj challenged him, saying that Hiranyakashipu was not God, and began to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, declaring that the Lord is all-pervading, that everything is under him, and that no one is equal to or greater than him. Thus he requested his father to be submissive to the omnipotent Supreme Lord. So this is significant. Prahlad Maharaj, it says here, he fell down at Hiranyakashipu's feet and said many things to pacify him. So a devotee, as Prahlad shows, can be the most humble. But when it comes to the point of speaking the truth, Prahlad is not going, and any other devotee is not going to just say yes. When the question comes, who is God? Then the devotee must stand up and say, no, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada had the same example. When Prabhupada was the guest of Dr. Mishra, and Dr. Mishra was speaking Mayavad philosophy, although Prabhupada was his guest, Prabhupada stood up and challenged Dr. Mishra. He could not allow him to speak his Mayavad nonsense. Even though he was his guest, Prabhupada could not tolerate. No. So Prabhupada would interrupt the teaching and set the record straight. That is what it means to be a preacher. Let us continue. The more Prahlad Maharaj glorified the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the more angry and agitated the demon became. Hiranyakashipu asked his Vaishnava son whether his God existed within the columns of the palace. And Prahlad Maharaj immediately accepted that since the Lord is present everywhere, he was also present within the columns. When Hiranyakashipu heard this philosophy from his youngest son, he derided the boy's statement as just the talk of a child and forcefully struck the pillar with his fist. As soon as Hiranyakashipu struck the column, there issued forth a tumultuous sound. At first, Hiranyakashipu, the king of the demons, could not see anything but the pillar. But to substantiate Prahlad's statements, the Lord came out of the pillar in his wonderful incarnation as Narasimha, half lion and half man. Hiranyakashipu could immediately understand that the extraordinarily wonderful form of the Lord was surely meant for his death. And thus he prepared to fight with the form of half lion and half man. The Lord performed his pastimes by fighting with the demon for some time. And in the evening, on the border between day and night, the Lord captured the demon, threw him on his lap, and killed him by piercing his abdomen with his nails. The Lord not only killed Hiranyakashipu, the king of the demons, but also killed many of his followers. When there was no one else to fight, the Lord, roaring with anger, sat down on Hiranyakashipu's throne. So I'm going to show you now my Nrisimhadev deity so that you can all see Lord Nrisimhadev. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So there's my Lord Nrisimhadev deity. As you see, Prahlad is on his lap. I bring this deity to homes when I do Namahat programs. If they don't have a deity, then I bring this deity. Jai. I'm glad you all like the darshan of Lord Nrisimhadev. Nrisimha Bhagavan Ki. Okay, let us continue now. We still have more chapters to discuss. Okay, Jai. Let us continue. When there was no one else to fight, the Lord, roaring with anger, sat down on Hiranyakashipu's throne. The entire universe was thus relieved of the rule of Hiranyakashipu, and everyone was jubilant in transcendental bliss. Then all the demigods, headed by Lord Brahma, approached the Lord. These included the great saintly persons, the Pittas, the Siddhas, the Vidyadharas, the Nagas, the Manus, the Prajapatis, the Gandharvas, the Charanas, the Yakshas, the Kim Purushas, the Vaitalikas, the Kinnaras, and also many other varieties of human beings in human form. All of them stood not far from the Supreme Personality of Godhead and began offering their prayers unto the Lord, whose spiritual effulgence was brilliant as he sat on the throne. So now we have two more chapters to do. So chapter 9, Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers. Jai. Up to 27 devotees online. Very nice. As related in this chapter, Prahlad Maharaj, following the order of Lord Brahma, pacified the Lord when the Lord was extremely angry after having killed Hiranyakashipu. After Hiranyakashipu was killed, the Lord continued to be very angry, and the demigods headed by Lord Brahma could not pacify him. Even Mother Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, the constant companion of Narayana, could not dare come before Lord Nrisimhadev. Actually, when Lord Brahma requested her to come, she said, "No, I have never seen my Lord in such an angry mood." So she was hesitant to come. Then Lord Brahma asked Prahlad Maharaj to go forward and pacify the Lord's anger. Prahlad Maharaj, being confident of the affection of his master, Lord Nrisimhadev, was not afraid at all. He very gravely appeared before the Lord's lotus feet and offered him respectful obeisances. Lord Narasimhadev, being very much affectionate toward Prahlad Maharaj, put his hand on Prahlad's head. And because of being personally touched by the Lord, Prahlad Maharaj immediately achieved Brahma Gyan, spiritual knowledge. So in the same way that Narasimhadev blessed Prahlad, I am now going to bless all of you who are here for this webcast. So here is Lord Narasimhadev blessing you on his appearance day. Lord Narasimha Bhagavan Ki. There is Lord Narasimhadev blessing you on his appearance day. Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Jaya Narasimhadev, 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 Jaya Narasimhadev. Prahlad Maharaj immediately achieved Brahma Gyan, spiritual knowledge. Thus, he offered his prayers to the Lord in full spiritual knowledge and full devotional ecstasy. The instructions given by Prahlad Maharaj in the form of prayers are as follows. Prahlad said, I am not proud of being able to offer prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I simply take shelter of the mercy of the Lord. For without devotion, one cannot appease him. One cannot please the Supreme Personality of Godhead simply by dint of high parentage or great opulence, learning, austerity, penance, or mystic power. Indeed, these are never pleasing to the Supreme Lord, for nothing can please him but pure devotional service. Even if a non-devotee is a brahmana, qualified with the 12 brahminical symptoms, he cannot be very dear to the Lord. Whereas if a person born in a family of dog eaters is a devotee, the Lord can accept his prayers. The Lord does not need anyone's prayers, but if a devotee offers his prayers to the Lord, the devotee benefits greatly. Ignorant persons born in low families, therefore, can sincerely offer heartfelt prayers to the Lord, and the Lord will accept them. As soon as one offers his prayers to the Lord, he is immediately situated on the Brahman platform. Lord Narasimhadev appeared for the benefit of all human society, not only for Prahlad's personal benefit. The fierce form of Lord Narasimhadev may appear most awful to the non-devotee, but to the devotee, the Lord is always affectionate as he is in other forms. Conditioned life in the material world is actually extremely fearful. Indeed, a devotee is not afraid of anything else. Fear of materialistic existence is due to false ego. Therefore, the ultimate goal of life for every living entity is to attain the position of being servant of the servant of the Lord. The miserable condition of the living entities in the material world can be remedied only by the mercy of the Lord. Although there are so-called material protectors like Lord Brahma and the other demigods, or even one's own father, they are unable to do anything if one is neglected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, one has fully taken shelter of the Lord's lotus feet can be saved from the onslaught of material nature. Therefore, every living entity should be unattracted by material so-called happiness and should take shelter of the Lord by all means. That is the mission of human life. To be attracted by sense gratification is simply foolish. Whether one is a devotee of the Lord or is a non-devotee does not depend upon one's birth in a high or low family. Even Lord Brahma and the Goddess of Fortune cannot achieve the full favor of the Lord, whereas a devotee can very easily attain such devotional service. The Lord's mercy is bestowed equally upon everyone, regardless of whether one is high or low. Because Prahlad Maharaj was blessed by Narada Muni, Prahlad became a great devotee. The Lord always saves the devotee from impersonalists and voidists. The Lord is present in everyone's heart as the super soul to give the living being protection and all benefits. Thus, the Lord acts sometimes as the killer and sometimes as the protector. One should not accuse the Lord for any discrepancies. It is His plan that we see varieties of life within this material world. All of them are ultimately His mercy. Although the entire cosmic manifestation is non-different, the material world is nonetheless different from the spiritual world. Only by the mercy of the Supreme Lord can one understand how the wonderful material nature acts. For example, although Lord Brahma appeared from the lotus seat that had grown from the abdomen of Garbhodakashayi Vishnu, he could not understand what to do after his appearance. He was attacked by two demons, Madhu and Kaitav, and he took away the Vedic knowledge. But the Lord killed them and entrusted to Lord Brahma the Vedic knowledge. That particular incarnation who killed the demons Madhu and Kaitav was known as Hayagriva. Thus, the Lord appears in every millennium in the societies of demigods, human beings, animals, saints, and aquatics. All such incarnations are meant to protect the devotees and kill the demons. But this killing and protecting does not reflect any sense of partiality on the part of the Supreme Lord. The conditioned soul is always attracted by the external energy. Therefore, he is subjected to lust and greed, and he suffers under the conditions of material nature. The Lord's causeless mercy toward his devotee is the only means by which to get out of material existence. Anyone engaged in glorifying the Lord's activities is always unafraid of this material world, whereas one who cannot glorify the Lord in that way is subjected to all lamentation. And that is why I pray that I give up my body while I am doing a preaching program. It is on basis of that statement. That is when I want to give up my body. Anyone engaged in glorifying the Lord's activities is always unafraid of this material world. Continuing, those interested in silently worshiping the Lord in solitary places may be eligible for liberation themselves, but a pure devotee is always aggrieved to see others suffering. Therefore, not caring for his own liberation, he always engages in preaching by glorifying the Lord. That is Srila Prabhupada. That sentence describes Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, not caring for his own liberation, he always engages in preaching by glorifying the Lord. Prahlad Maharaj, therefore, had tried to deliver his class friends by preaching and had never remained silent. Although being silent, observing austerities and penances, learning the Vedic literature, undergoing ritualistic ceremonies, living in a solitary place, and performing japa and transcendental meditation are all approved means of liberation. They are meant for non-devotees and for cheaters who want to live at the expense of others. A pure devotee, however, being freed from all such deceptive activities, is able to see the Lord face to face. The atomic theory of the composition of this cosmic manifestation is not factual. The Lord is the cause of everything, and therefore he is the cause of this creation. One should therefore always engage in devotional service by offering respectful obeisances to the Lord, offering prayers, working for the Lord, worshiping the Lord in the temple, always remembering the Lord, and always hearing about his transcendental activities. Without these six kinds of activity, one cannot attain to devotional service. Prahlad Maharaj thus offered his prayers to the Supreme Lord, begging his mercy at every step. Lord Narsinghadev was pacified by Prahlad Maharaj's prayers and wanted to give him benedictions by which Prahlad could procure all kinds of material facilities. Prahlad Maharaj, however, was not misled by material facilities. Rather, he wanted to remain always a servant of the Lord. So we have one more chapter, chapter 10, Prahlad, the best among exalted devotees, as we are now up to 31 devotees online. Very nice. So I'll give everyone another darshan of Prahlad Narsinga as we close out this final chapter of tonight's katha. So here is Prahlad Narsinga. Sri Narsinga, Jai Narsinga, Jai Jai Narsinga, Prahlad Desha, Jaya Padma, Mukha Padma Bringa, Jaya Jaya Sri Narsinga, Jaya Jaya Narsinga, Prahlad Desha, Jaya Padma, Mukha Padma Bringa, Jaya Jaya Sri Narsinga, Jaya Jaya Narsinga, Prahlad Desha, Jaya Padma, Mukha Padma Bringa. Somebody wants to see the feet. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. All right, let's go to chapter 10. Prahlad, the best among exalted devotees. This chapter describes how the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narsinghadev, disappeared after pleasing Prahlad Maharaj. It also describes a benediction given by Lord Shiva. Lord Narsinghadev wanted to bestow benedictions upon Prahlad Maharaj, one after another. But Prahlad Maharaj, thinking them impediments on the path of spiritual progress, did not accept any of them. Instead, he fully surrendered at the Lord's lotus feet. He said, "If anyone engaged in devotional service of the Lord prays for personal sense gratification. He cannot be called a pure devotee or even a devotee. He may be called only a merchant engaged in the business of give and take. Similarly, a master who wants to please his servant after taking service from him is also not a real master. Prahlad Maharaj, therefore, did not ask anything from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Rather, he said, that if the Lord wanted to give him a benediction, he wanted the Lord to assure him that he would never be induced to take any benedictions for the sake of material desires. Exchanges of devotional service for lusty desires are always very prominent. As soon as lusty desires awaken, one's senses, mind, life, soul, religious principles, patience, intelligence, shyness, beauty, strength, memory, and truthfulness are all vanquished. One can render unalloyed devotional service only when there are no material desires in one's mind. The Supreme Personality of Godhead was greatly pleased with Prahlad for his unalloyed devotion. Yet the Lord provided him one material benediction, that he would be perfectly happy in this world and live his next life in Vaikuntha. The Lord gave him the benediction that he would be the king of this material world until the end of the Manvantara millennium, and that although in this material world he would have to facilitate to hear the glories of the Lord and depend fully on the Lord, performing service to him in uncontaminated bhakti yoga. The Lord advised Prahlad to perform sacrifices through bhakti yoga, for this is the duty of the king. Prahlad Maharaj accepted whatever the Lord had offered him, and he prayed for the Lord to deliver his father. In response to this prayer, the Lord assured him that in the family of such a pure devotee as he, not only the devotee's father, but his forefathers for 21 generations are liberated. The Lord also asked Prahlad to perform the ritualistic ceremonies appropriate after his father's death. Then Lord Brahma, who was also present, offered many prayers to the Lord, expressing his obligation to the Lord for having offered benedictions to Prahlad Maharaj. The Lord advised Lord Brahma not to offer benedictions to Asuras as he had to Hiranyakashipu, for such benedictions indulge them. The Lord Nrisinga then disappeared. On the day Prahlad Maharaj was installed on the throne of the world by Lord Brahma and Shukracharya. Thus Narada Muni described the character of Prahlad Maharaj for Yudhishthira Maharaj, and he further described the killing of Ravana by Lord Ramachandra and the killing of Shishupal and Dantavankra in Dwarapayuga. Shishupal, of course, had merged into the existence of the Lord and thus achieved Sayujya Mukti. Narada Muni praised Yudhisthira because the Supreme Lord Krishna was the greatest well-wisher and friend of the Pandavas, and almost always stayed in their house. Thus the fortune of the Pandavas was greater than that of Prahlad Maharaj. So that ends today's narration of the Nrisinga Katha. I hope that you benefited from it. I hope it satisfied your spiritual desires. And we're going to close out today's program by singing the prayers to Lord Nrisimhadev. So let us now pray to Lord Nrisimha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Namaste Narasimhaya, Namaste Narasimhaya, Namaste Narasimhaya, Namaste Narasimhaya. Prahlad Halad Dayani, Prahlad Halad Dayani, Hiranya Kashipura Vakshaha, Hiranya Kashipura Vakshaha. Shila Tanka Nakalae, Shila Tanka Nakalae, Ito Nrisimha Parato Nrisimha, Ito Nrisimha Parato Nrisimha. Yato yato yamitato Nrisimha, yato yato yamitato Nrisimha, bahi Nrisimha hridaye Nrisimha, Nrisimha madim sharanam prapaji, Nrisimha madim sharanam prapadye, Nrisimha madim sharanam prapadye, Nrisimha madim sharanam prapadye. Tavakara kamalavare nakam adbhuta sringam dalita iranya kashipu chanu pringam keshavadvita nadahari rupa jaya jagadisha hare, jaya jagadisha hare, jaya jagadisha hare. Keshavadvita Narahari Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare, Jaya Jagadisha Hare, Jaya Jagadisha Hare, Jaya Jagadish, Jaya Jagadish, Jaya Jagadisha Hare, Jaya Jagadish, Jaya Jagadish, Jaya Jagadisha Hare, Jaya Nrisimhadev, Jaya Nrisimhadev, Nrisimhadev, Jaya Nrisimhadev, Jaya Bhakta Prahlad, Jaya Bhakta Prahlad, Jaya Bhakta Prahlad, Jaya Bhakta Prahlad. Hari Bo, 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 Gora Hari Bo. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Prabhupada.
Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada.
So that's it for tonight. There'll be a webcast